This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Jaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This episode, we're going to do something of a wrap-up of the National Festival. Our theater, Elkhart Civic, went to festival with a production of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and we really enjoyed the festival. I mean, we were there, our cast was there for a week. And,
yeah, you guys enjoyed it. I was running back and
John
forth.
John was back and forth and didn't get to see as many excerpts
as he wanted to. Yeah, I know,
I'm
so needed.
That's true. No, that's true.
Thanks, Marcia.
Right.
Well, you didn't have to run back and forth.
Love
you.
But we're all veterans of festival at one way or another. And
Marcia's an award winner.
Marcia's an award winner.
Yep. Dave's an award winner.
I'm an award winner.
There you go.
And so our theater got 7 nominations. We had 2 awards. Came back with 2 awards. One for lighting design for Randy Zonker. And the other was for costume design for our costumer Linda Wiesinger. So it's fun to go to the shows because when you're at the National Festival, it's like there's nothing's bad. They're all good shows. There's nothing that is
and most are strange.
And some of them are strange. That's true. We did see
most are strange. Well,
speaking of, one of them was
really
absurd.
Strange.
One of them was Ionesco.
Okay. The lesson.
I will tell you right now. It was the best annoying play I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Halfway through, I said, somebody get me a knife. I want to slit my wrist. I don't like absurd theater. I wish I did. I don't like it.
But you have to admit they did a very good job.
Oh, you know what? They actually did. I thought the female actress was amazing.
Yeah. I've never seen absurdist performed. So it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. This is what it's like. And I can see why it's not done by community theaters because it's not something that would really sell, and even the adjudicators said that. But they did a marvelous job with it. Just real quick, just go through here. 3rd place best show, and we have a couple of interviews coming up with folks from our fellow Midwest winners, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, for their production of Cradle and All. They took 3rd place. They also got an acting award out of that, and then they may have another award in there as well.
I saw their production at the regional. It was great.
Yeah. 2nd place best show was God of Carnage, which is it was funny. It was great.
Hate that place.
It was.
I have to say that right up front.
I will tell you right now. The audience laughed their butts off.
Yeah, well,
at this.
You know,
it was
that
funny.
Kind of humor. If you like to see people throwing up on stage, not my kind of thing, Dave.
Yeah, but she did it really well.
I don't care.
And it was not real.
Look,
you could tell it wasn't real anyway.
Really?
It was inoffensive puke.
I was gonna say, I'd rather see somebody throw up on stage though, than in real life.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate watching. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Anyway, best show was Burlington Players from Burlington, Massachusetts, with a production of Radium Girls. And we were talking about it a little bit before the show started. Radium Girls is a true story about the ladies who painted radium on the watch dials and clock dials in the 20s and 30s, and they ended up they were like licking the paint brushes to put points on them, and somebody else was telling me some of the stories that they would paint it on their hands and their arms because it would glow and it was kind of fun, not realizing what the danger was. And then ultimately they started getting sick, and it becomes kind of a story about kind of workplace safety and the way the company kind of didn't want to take responsibility for a long time, and there's a court case involved and everything else. And it was a real ensemble show and with fast scene changes and things like that. But it was I thought it was very good. They did good job. So festival's one of those things that I don't know. We have differing opinions on whether it's worth doing, I got a lot out of it. I think our theater gets a lot out of it in many ways in terms of education for people. It is costly. It does cost some money, and if you can keep those costs down, you're great.
But we were able to keep costs down because it was more local for us. So we had a a patron of the theater who had a house in Indianapolis who was willing to open up their house, which helped us a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not everybody had that option. That's one of the reasons why sometimes the casts for shows that are going on to the national level, a lot of times people select smaller cast shows so they don't have as many people to take to festival. It's a great way to save money. But we were nominated in 7 categories, which I thought was great.
7 categories, that's true. And I won't run through all of them because I don't really have them up in front of me. We got nominated for ensemble. We got nominated for...
Best featured performer?
Two of our actors were nominated. We were also...
For sound and... scenic design.
Scenic design, yes, John. Congratulations.
So, thanks. But I mean, we just, it was a, but I like the festival experience. I think it's great. I also, kudos to the Booth Tarkington Theater in Indianapolis, in Carmel, Indiana. It's just a gorgeous theater.
Yeah.
They were very hospitable.
Have you been in that theater? You get down to Indianapolis fairly often, so you've seen some things there. Yeah. It's great. There's the Palladium, which is a big theater.
Concert venue.
Yeah. And then there's the Tarkington across the street.
And the Carmel Repertory Theater, who is the group that actually organized the event this year.
Indianapolis.
No, that's
Indianapolis Civic.
No, Indianapolis Civic is now called the Tarkington or the Tarkington Civic or something like that, isn't it?
Tarkington Studio
Carmel,
Theater, maybe.
Carmel Repertory Theater was a small community theater in Carmel, Indiana that just. They decided to make the Tarkington their home base when it opened, and then they also decided to host the event. So.
Well, they've got – it's a great facility.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful facility.
Yeah,
it
would be nice to have that here in Bristol, Indiana. Okay.
Maybe someday.
All right. I'm joined by Susan Edgren. Susan is the director of the show Cradle and All, which competed at the ACT Fest 13, the national festival at Carmel, Indiana this year. She's from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. And Cradle and All, well, welcome to Theater Geek, Susan, first of all.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, Wisconsin Rapids did rather well at the festival. You won. You came back with third place, and I think that you know it's one of those things where you think, well, it is sort of nice to be nominated. Anyway, even if you don't place, it's nice to be nominated. But it sure is nice to place, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I tell you, we didn't know what to expect. Because none of us have had this kind of experience before,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I knew, I mean, it had to be, when you have 12 companies from all over the country, and everybody, each company, you know, placed first, end state, placed first at regional. So you figure, it's not going to be shabby stuff that we're going to be seeing here.
No.
And that's... I was so excited because I said, this is cool.
Yeah.
These are all going to be amateurs, and we're going to see some really good stuff.
Yeah, and I think we did. I think that there were, I think there were certainly things that maybe weren't, maybe a show or two that weren't to your taste, but you couldn't say they weren't well done. And I think that's the case for anybody. And I think that's really, you know, it's worth it just to attend the thing. I was nice to see people from Carmel, but, you know, who came in from the city itself there. But this is something that, boy, it should be something that, you know, people from around the country come to just to watch, even if they're not participating, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you're going to see, sort of one person that week described it as a hodgepodge, but it is kind of. But you're going to see all kinds of different theater. I mean, you had comedy, you had drama, you had absurdism, which I was so thrilled at.
Right.
And you know, and musical, and you know, you had dance. You had. It was just like, let's see what other theaters are doing all over the country. What their audiences. Like to watch.
Right.
And you can learn a lot by that. And we're absolutely, you know, thrilled to do as well as we did.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started out, when Steve and Carly first brought me into this project.
Yeah, you're talking Steve Martin, who is
Steve
this,
Martin,
the
right.
Cradle and All I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's a two-person show. So you had Carly Tellickson and Steve Martin, and they were the whole show essentially, other than obviously crew and director. But go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So when we first started, I went, this will be cool. because in college, I never had a chance to take anything, you know, to any kind of competition or be in something. My husband had that opportunity in grad school. I never did. And I didn't even know that this existed on a community theater level.
Right.
It was totally new to me. So I thought, well, okay, we'll go to state and we'll just see what happens.
Okay. You know? Is this the first time you've actually competed at all? Is this the first time Wisconsin Rapids has been in?
Yes. No, it's the first time Wisconsin Rapids has ever competed at all.
That's spectacular.
It's the first time any of us involved have ever competed in anything at all.
Yeah.
So we had no expectations, really, except we just wanted to do our best and see what happens.
Yeah.
And getting to nationals was, for me, that was the icing on the cake.
Right.
But then you get to Saturday night and you're sitting there going, please, please just nominate me. Please, I just want to hear my name. Please, I just want to hear the show.
Right, yeah. And were you jittery in the seats? Because our show was Jekyll and Hyde, and we were your co-conspirators from the Midwest region, and I had a bit of nerves going on, and of course as the director you have no control.
No,
at that point.
I tell you, it was the nationals hit me as hard as state. Mm-hmm. Hit me. My stomach was just really upset.
Right,
I didn't sleep the night before. I couldn't settle down. You know, the hour beforehand, I went, oh, my God, oh, my God. It was a lot easier at regionals because we'd had a success.
Right.
And I kind of went, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever happens, it's going to be wonderful because we made it to regionals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, yeah, then go to nationals and go, oh, my gosh. I think I was... We were all a little tense.
Well, you know, it's funny because you know that the difference between the shows and our show is good, your show is strong. I mean, every show there is strong, and so you know that ultimately the difference between the shows in terms of placing and in terms of awards very often is figurative inches, and so
it's totally subjective.
And it's little stuff that you notice and that I notice, and my wife was sitting next to me going, oh, you know, you quit worrying. It looks fine. Nobody's going to notice it. And I said, oh, I don't know. they might notice that, you know, and there's always, and there's always something, you know, just little stuff. The bad part about, you know, and being in a theater that you're not familiar with is the other issue, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
very much
the wild card, I guess.
It is a wild card. That's why we kept our text so incredibly simple. Absurdly simple,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the very beginning, because I said, I don't want to have to worry about trying to go into these strange theaters and then say, can we set this up? Can we set that up? Is this going to work? Is that going to work? No, let's take something that is extremely adaptable.
Yeah.
And we wound up adding a little bit along the way, you know, to enhance things a little bit. We were allowed to do that. But it was really because we were able to explore technically what was going to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned something that way, and that was fun. But it was still pretty darn simple.
Right. Yeah, well, there's a lot to be said for keeping it simple. Our show was sort of like, you know, absurdly complicated. You know, it was kind of the other end of it, although I guess most of our complexity was in the lighting. We had kind of learned to, you know, and our lighting director, our designer and director was very good at terms of it just being adaptable. And so we were able to do that. But, you know, that it does help if you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, we did. But let me ask you something. I mean, when did you start your show? When was you performed it locally, correct? Right.
Yes.
As a regular part of your season. And then that was when?
We had performances in November, and actually it was part of our studio series.
Right, okay. So you had been with your show just about as long as ours, which was about almost 10 months, right? I mean, in terms of, you know, having to come back and revisit it. And
In terms of planning, we started just right about, actually it was a little early. We started in June of last year.
Right.
Now reading through, May and June, reading through scripts, trying to find just the right one. We started rehearsing in September.
Right.
We had two weekends of performances in November. And then we, you know, tweaked it and dealt with it during January and February to take
right.
the state.
Yeah, we I directed another show in between ours and then came back to this one, and then in about January or so. Yeah, and then we did not how many rehearsals did you have, like, after, cuz you left it, you had to come back to it as an excerpt then. But did you have to do a lot of work on the script, or did you just do an act?
No, what we did was actually the second act.
Right, so you didn't read
this full-length show, and we did cut it. We cut about 30, 35 minutes off. What we did is we just took out two scenes.
Oh, okay.
Basically, part of it. Steve and I worked together mm-hmm. on that, and he had some actually very good suggestions. He was more familiar with the script at the time than I was, because he's the one that found it
right.
and had read it multiple times before he showed it to me. So he already had ideas, and I looked at that and I said, okay, yeah, let's cut it this way and let's cut it that way. Yeah, we can do with that. I mean, there's one,
right.
you know, part of the scene where they really get going sex-wise and rolling on the floor and everything.
Right.
And we decided, for our audiences, we need to cut that anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you have to, for those who, this is competitive, and you have only an hour to perform, so you had to
right.
be within an hour. How long was your excerpt? How did it time out normally?
We ran, especially by the time we got to Nationals, we were running pretty consistently 54 minutes, although I guess at Nationals it was 56 and a half, because there was so much more laughter. I mean, that was just pause for laughter that we hadn't had. We'd had good reactions,
right.
don't get me wrong, and we'd had laughter, but Nationals added another 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, it'll happen with comedies.
But we had the time, you know, and they're panicking. When Steve Rush is backstage, he would check with his wife, Jenny, what time is it? And I wish I'd been able to be back there saying, stop worrying.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have 6 minutes to play
yeah,
with.
Yeah, when you've got that much time.
We did that on purpose.
Right. Ours timed out about 57 and a half most of the time, and since it was not a comedy, there wasn't the laugh factor, so it was a little different. So we got pretty consistent with that, but we did run a public performance that ran 59 and a half for some reason, there was like the week before, it was the last performance before we went to Nationals, which made me slightly nervous, but not too nervous. But, you know, the timing is, time is a big deal, it's a big part of it. So you picked the play knowing that it was going to be your festival entry right off the bat,
yes.
right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I think maybe most theaters do that. At least they know pretty much up front that that's what it's going to be, even though you really don't need to decide for sure. You don't have to tell anybody until like January.
Right.
I don't think.
I think most of the people I talked to, yes, they did know, but they had a full length show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which they had to cut. And that's why a lot of the shows like yours, you get to be 58, 59, 59 and 3/4
right.
minutes, because they're trying to do an entire show, you know, in that time.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that problem. Our show, the half of our show ran in full length an hour and a half. So it was a lot easier,
right.
you know, for us to cut.
Yeah.
In fact, when we did it in November, we were seriously considering cutting part of the scene where they got into the Slytherin and the Hufflepuff
mm-hmm.
and everything. And we just decided no, because that was a harder part, because it evolved
right.
from wrestling over, you know, you had to get the wrestling in partly because it just was good for the audience
right.
as well as the actors. Get them off, it gave them something different to do, and it showed a totally different dynamic to their relationship.
Right. This is a husband.
And in that wonderful, wonderful moment
this
when they're on the floor,
right.
you know, talking about, we haven't made love, you think I'm a failure. You know, so he said, no, we can't cut that. So
yeah.
I'm glad we didn't.
Well, it's a husband-wife, a young couple, basically, who have a baby that's keeping them awake because it won't stop crying.
Right. And she's 11 months old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's never slept through the night.
And so they're frazzled, let's to say the least. And it comes out in their relationship, and that's what's really cool about it. But I got to tell you, the stuff that where they start accusing each other of being in the wrong house from the Harry Potter books, that was pretty darn funny.
Yeah, yeah,
when you get that silly, you know you're tired and sleepy, and you need to get some rest, right? So it was a whole lot of fun. Did you?
And Steve really, it's really fun because Steve really is a Hufflepuff.
Oh really? Oh okay, all right, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I have no idea what I am.
Or Ravenclaw.
That's
but
right.
Steve is definitely. We all. No, you are a Hufflepuff.
Oh gosh. what do you think? What is the? You know, it's a long process. It's costly. It's expensive for the theaters to do. I mean, it's not like, you know, Hollywood expensive, but it does have some costs. I assume that, you know, after all, and I feel this way, I get, you know, is it worth it? Was it worth the whole experience? What do you bring back to your theater from the Nationals experience that you can use in the future, do you think?
Well, for one thing, we're hoping to get more attention and maybe get more audience interest because, you know, we have the same problem that everybody does these days, seems to be, to get butts in seats.
Mm-hmm.
And when your theater has existed for quite a number of years, whether it's, you know, 35 or 65 years or whatever, people can get kind of jaded, going, been there, done that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though the actual hands-on experience was only for five of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, only four of us who are really involved in the theater, actually, on a regular basis.
Right.
But for our town and for the area, you know, we're hoping that this kind of sparks some extra interest or some new interest in people. It's one of the reasons why we wanted a more contemporary script. This is not the kind of script that we would put on a main stage show necessarily,
mm-hmm.
partly because it's only two people and, you know, a community theater. Let's have more people involved.
Involve the community, but, right.
Right, but with the language, you know, that's why another reason why it was a studio, because for one thing, for competition, you can't change the language.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rule.
Yeah.
You can't do it. So it gave us a real good excuse to tell our board, gee, sorry, we can't change the language. It's the rule. Then all three of us are going, oh, thank God, we can actually do, you know, an adult language show.
Right. And you know, and it isn't that you...
It's not gratuitous.
Yeah, it's
either.
Not... It's not that you want to do something dirty. You want to do something that's realistic, and do something, you know, that where you're not walking on eggs from an audience standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I'm sure, and I haven't looked at your website, but I would assume that, you know, the award-winning Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater is a phrase that's going to be popping up quite a lot. I know that we're going to be doing it at our theater, and that's great because, you know, even if you hadn't gotten to Nationals, or and if we had, you know, it would still be the same. You know, the same thing, you know, when you start getting recognized for the quality, I think it can, you know, that's a promotable commodity.
Yeah. We're hoping so. I don't know how long, you know, how quickly it will take off and how long the effect will last. But we're really hoping, you know, even if we could, if it boosts the percentage of seats sold, so even by 2%, or 3%, that's that many more people that will come in and see what we're doing and maybe come back year after year, even if it's just one show a year.
Right.
But to come back, we need, as everyone says, we need a younger audience as well.
Right.
We need, you know, and I don't mean 20-somethings only. I mean, we'd like to see a lot more 40-somethings come in.
You
know, the average, I think our average season ticket holder age is about 72.
Well, and I'd like to see more young people who are willing to do something besides musicals. I don't know about you, and I think that I think that if you have, you know, more of an artistic cred, so to speak, like this, maybe it helps from that angle as well. We get an awful lot of people who at our theater, and I don't know about yours, that just, you know, they think that musicals are kind of the be all end all, and boy, I would really like to see more people doing plays, and be really and young people be really interested in that, because I think that they get more, they get different kind of acting chops out of that.
Oh, definitely. In fact, more acting chops, because frankly, a musical isn't about the book. No, very few musicals are. You get Les Mis, you
know, right,
and Sweeney Todd, maybe, and a couple others. But mostly, musicals are about the music and the dancing.
Right.
And that's wonderful, and it's fun, and you know why kids do it. You know why high schools and colleges do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it really comes to, stretching your acting chops, you need, whether it's comedy, and there's farce, for one thing. Mm-hmm. That's hard, too.
Right.
Or you need drama. You need all kinds of different, non-musical experiences to really delve into the whole art or the skills or whatever of the actual acting.
Well,
and we'd like a lot of, we'd like to have more, as you said, younger kids, too, a lot more interest in coming over.
Sure.
And of course, they're very busy at school, and they're here in Wisconsin Rapids, our local high school, and I should say the two, because we have a parochial as well as public.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very busy, you know, in their own high schools doing things. And
well, yeah, you're always competing for the talent pool in any community. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing that, certainly.
Oh, yeah. And you can get the kids to come out, as we have in the past, when we're doing a musical that interests them.
Right.
We had quite a few come out for Working this last winter. When I was musical director quite a number of years ago for A Little Shop of Horrors, we got, our two leads came right out of the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a problem.
Right.
But, getting them to come out for straight plays is something else again.
Sure, because and especially if there's serious subject matter, then there may be some some issues there as well. People don't want to deal with anything serious necessarily. But I mean, even comedies can have those serious moments as well. So you may have some issues with younger actors where they don't want to do certain things, or their parents, have issues too. But I mean, the musicals always seem safe. It seems like, let's do Oliver, Oklahoma.
We have a youth drama.
Do you?
Club?
Yeah.
And the kids meet. Yeah, and the kids. I think it's once a month. And we, and I should say that the leaders of that group try to expose them to all kinds of things. In fact, we had a grant one year that my husband and I and one other parent chaperoned the kids. We took them down to American Players Theater in Spring Green here in Wisconsin to see a production of Taming of the Shrew.
Sure.
So we introduced them to Shakespeare, and my husband and I led, we had games and instructional kind of fun trivia sort of games about Shakespeare and about the plays. On the way down there, and while we ate lunch with the kids, it was kind of a picnic lunch. And then afterwards, the next week, we led a workshop in acting Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And we've had a Chekhov, workshop where we had a handful of young people from the high school come out and work on scenes from Chekhov, and we were studying Stanislavski's method through that. And we have had a couple of different Shakespeare workshops. We had one. The first one was a combination on purpose with the high school kids and with the community theater. So we try to do that through those methods. I have led, developed a workshop for acting for middle school kids, because they're in between. They're too old for the children's theater stuff, but yet they're not old enough to be in high school. So I picked scenes from adult kinds of shows, but things that were accessible to them, like Thornton Wilder's Our Town.
Sure.
Things like that are adult, yes, but still they're accessible to kids of that age and understandable.
They can understand it.
So we try to, so we do have a handful here in Rapids that do come out. If they'll ask me, they'll call it directing and anything, they'll call. Is there a part for me? Is there anything that I could be involved in? Come on down.
Cultivate those like gold is what you do. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe the win and then the recognition I'm very hopeful that, and I'm sure it will to some degree help you, the recognition from nationals and really the whole process will help you along the way. And on a personal note, I just like to say it's been a really pleasure to getting to know you and your group. And that's, I think, one of the big values of going through this process, being involved in the state, regional, and national not just the competitions, but just with the organizations themselves, because you just broaden your whole scope of inputs.
Yeah,
I guess that maybe is the best way to do it. So it's been a real thrill to move through the chairs, so to speak, with you, and also see you and we did okay too. So once you get to nationals, I think you do have to kind of take the attitude that it gets pretty subjective up there. And if you're expecting, you can't expect to win. You hope you win.
No.
You may think you have a good chance. You may even handicap a little bit in your head. But ultimately, the thrill is knowing, we were the top 12 community theater excerpts in the country this year, and that's really cool, and that's good enough in a lot of ways too, but not to say anything, but congratulations for the third place, and of course we'll congratulate Steve. We're going to be talking to him as well on Theater Geeks, and he was the best actor winner for the festival as well, so thanks for joining.
Great getting to know you guys.
Great
too.
Getting to know that you, was... and thanks for joining us here on Theater Geeks. And I hope that we'll see you again down the road, maybe in a competition in the future.
I won't say you won't.
Okay, I think you better not. All right. Take care. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye bye. We are joined now by Carly Tellickson and Steve Martin, who are the whole cast of a show called Cradle and All, which was third place at the ACT Fest, which is the American Association of Community Theaters Festival. And so welcome to Theater Geeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you with us. We kind of share the fact that we were both from the Midwest region with our show. Our home theater, Elkhart Civic, took Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and so we kind of went in tandem then into nationals, and so we kind of kept track of each other while we were there, and that was kind of a fun thing. You performed on Wednesday, and we were a little bit later in the week, and tell us a little bit about between the regionals and the nationals, how you made some changes. We did as well in our shows, based on what the adjudicators said, but how much rehearsing were you rehearsing a lot between the two festivals, or what was your experience there?
Actually, we didn't do a whole lot of rehearsing between regionals and nationals. We were kind of recommended not to. Really, the biggest difference for us between regionals and nationals was the accent. We had an accent at regionals, we didn't at nationals, and that was probably the toughest part for us was losing the accent.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It would be kind of tough. Yeah.
Would be a hard thing, especially if you didn't rehearse, like trying to get rid of it. So just maybe to yourselves as you're running lines, but that's I would have had a hard time not just saying, hey, I'm going to get rid of this Brooklyn accent now.
I mean, especially when it affects so much of your.
I liked your Brooklyn accents, by the way. So yeah.
they played a married couple in New York that had a baby that would not go to sleep. That's sort of the top level theme of the show, and it's a very funny show. And
I had one of those.
You had one of those as well?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, for 11 months.
Colicky for a year.
Oh.
Screamed.
We had one that just wouldn't go to bed. We had one that we would get, she'd get out of bed maybe 50, 100 times a night, and you'd have to hustle her back in. So, and well, you are a mom, right, Carly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And are you a dad?
Yes.
Steve? Okay. So you've had some of these experiences. How much of that helped in rehearsing this show?
A lot. I think that was the story of my life for both my children. They didn't sleep till about 11 months, and I nursed them, so I lived through all of that fun
right,
stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. So when you're doing a two-person show like this, did you get sick of each other at times, or was there? I mean, what were the toughest parts of doing a show like this?
I'm pretty much always sick of Steve.
We have a mutual hatred between each other. You can probably tell.
Right.
No. I think that was probably the most exciting part of the whole competition was, you know, that Carly and I, we've only done one show together prior to this. And, you know, in that show, we found we worked really well together. We'd become really good friends. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to share the stage. So, no, I don't think we got sick of each other at all.
Yeah. Did you find that, like, when competition started, that you actually discovered more stuff in the script that you could use, or had you kind of figured that out? I know you performed it at Wisconsin Rapids earlier, like in the fall. So you probably laid it down for a month or two and then came back to it like in January. But was it kind of fresh at that point? I think that was kind of our experience. Mm-hmm. Is that we discovered new stuff.
Yeah, we solidified a few things that we were kind of toying with.
Mm-hmm.
They turned out, like the whole chicken bit that we did, that was not written into the script. So we had fun playing with that one.
Oh, that's true. They had what she's talking about is that there were toys all over the stage, and one of them was a chicken that squeaked.
Like a rubber chicken, yeah.
And you had a physical fight between and your Carly were up on top of Steve and pounding on and pulling his hair, and then finally she falls on the floor and falls on the rubber chicken, and then after the fight's over, she rolls off of it, and it squeaks really long and slow, like it's dying. And that was one of those things that, you know, obviously you had to plan, but it didn't look planned.
And that's the cool thing about what we experienced with this show was, if you didn't over-rehearse it, you found some new things every time. You know, Carly getting up off of the chicken was a mistake, and it was one of those things that had happened, and we thought it was absolutely hilarious. And so from that point on, now it's like, okay, how do we make that happen every time?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Not look rehearsed like you would say.
Right, yeah.
That's the one great thing about, I think, the rehearsal process in general, though, is just the discovery process of rehearsal. I was curious to know, though, if you guys went into – did you know the show was going to festival when you did it? Was this a selection, or was this something that the theater that you worked for decided to do after you put the show on?
This is something Carly and I had been talking about for a while. Like I said, we had done one show prior, and we both found that we really loved the idea of close, you know, intimate theater, like a studio setting where you have a smaller audience, smaller cast, smaller set. And I had always thought about doing the festival. We had never done it for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Our executive director was interested in doing it, and so between our executive director, Carly, and I, we kind of talked about it. And so I just went out and started reading a lot of scripts, and we found this show and proposed it. So yes, originally it was proposed as not only a studio show, but as a show for festival.
Sure. And every theater works differently. And even we work differently. Sometimes we put a season on and then we go, oh, well, maybe we should choose this show from the season. Mm-hmm. With Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, it was specifically put on the season, not just because we thought our audiences would enjoy it, but also because we thought it would make a great festival piece.
Right. Well, and your show is fairly easy to travel too. I mean, I think that, you know, you can get very well. You know, at regionals we saw a couple of really big sets, and I think we saw one or two at nationals as well. Ours was complex, but not particularly big. But you know, you have to consider that kind of thing when you're going to take a show to festivals. How's that set going to move? And with yours, yours was, you know, relatively compact, obviously broken down. So I had another question, I lost it.
Well, during the rehearsal process, you were talking about playing, how much leeway did your director give you to play? Or was she, I don't know that you're a director, but was she kind of like really hands-on about the whole thing? Or was she more excited to just let the two of you go and play and improvise?
She was pretty open with us improvising. We kind of just had room to do what we wanted to do, which was nice. And then that's how those happy mistakes happened. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, she was really pretty collaborative. She kind of let Carly and I go, and, you know, she served as the eyes of the audience, where she watched and just tweaked things here and there, obviously did the blocking and things like that. But as far as the relationship, the choices that came out of the characters, she was pretty flexible with that. It was really nice.
Yeah.
And how much character development did you folks do? I mean, did you write your backstories and do all that stuff, or did you just pretty much go right at it?
You know what was really cool about this, and it can be difficult sometimes, but for me personally, and I'll let Carly speak, but for me, a lot of Nate was Steve. You know, sure. we have experienced the parenthood thing, and so we've had these situations with our spouses, and it's kind of tapping into what we've already experienced. And so I don't want to say it was easy, because sometimes it's hard to play yourself, but there was a lot of Steve on stage, so it was kind of fun.
I think when you're playing something that's that close to yourself and you've had those experiences, it's kind of hard not to bring your own characters, your own personality into it. Most characters are that way. But the thing that I lost a second ago was that, and Susan told me this, is that you had never been to festival before. This is the first time for your group to go to this kind of competition. So, I mean, it's kind of neat that, you know, you got that far, you know, first step out, really.
Yeah, we were pretty lucky about that, and we weren't expecting. We had no expectations as far as far we would go with it. So we were just really excited to get to state.
Yeah. What do you think about the festival experience in general? What's your impression of it? I mean, what do you think is valuable about it, or not valuable?
What was great for us was to see all the great theater, meet a lot of new friends, and learn about what they're doing out there. Like you had mentioned, our set was very compact. We did that intentionally. We looked for a very small show because we didn't know what we were doing, and so we wanted to keep it as simple as possible. And then we see shows like yours that were just like, wow, these folks really know what they're doing, and we see these
We're stupid, Steve. We're stupid. We're stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah, no, be compact. We were stupid. We'd never take a big set. Never take big. No.
Right. Yeah, we've taken big things we've had to assemble before, but it's a little easier if you don't.
Yeah, but to see some of these sets put together in very creative ways that I would have never thought of. And so taking some of those ideas home and being able to apply a lot of those things, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It was also funny to compare sets to ours, because we had duct tape going on. I had to constantly remake the knobs on our fake oven out of clay, because we didn't have any
breaking them.
So we had clay and duct tape and
you couldn't tell from a distance, or certainly that obviously, which is obviously the point. What were we doing? We were touching up our set with a black Sharpie. Yeah, the day of, because we knew we had some nicks and bumps and things like that on it. So it got some fix up, and then we had to add taping down some wiring, which we hadn't been doing before, and it cost us some time in the setup. So it made us a little nervous.
Yeah. I have a question about the whole adjudication process for you, though, and it's very specific, and we've already touched on it, this whole thing about having to get rid of the accent. You know, one adjudicator asked you to get rid of your accents, and actually asked us to get rid of our accents, too. Felt like it would be a better show if we hadn't maybe necessarily attempted accents. Dave's looking at me like he doesn't remember that. I remember it, but I was sitting in the auditorium. But how did you feel about that? At that moment, I mean, and did you actually have any discussion about should you take that adjudicator's advice or ignore it and just go with what you know?
Yeah, we had some discussion about it, but we both came to the conclusion that it would be smarter if, you know, multiple people are suggesting that we lose it. It would probably be the smartest decision to drop it, but it was definitely hard. Especially for me. I can't speak for you, but it was hard for me because we rehearsed it for so long that way.
What was their reasoning for that? I can't remember. What was
consistency, isn't it? They just say it's not necessarily consistent. And
well, they had said that, and I can't disagree. They said if you notice it, like an accent or a limp or something like that, that's what the audience tends to focus on. And if they notice it's dropped once, then it's noticed.
It pulls them out of reality.
And so
into reality, I should say.
And so Susan, our director, she gave us, the two of us, the right to make that choice. And since we did have three adjudicators at regionals mention it, we thought it might be best to just get rid of it.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. So are you gonna do it again next year? Next year you just have a state festival, right? Or does Wisconsin do a state festival on the off year? Indiana does.
We do a conference. We don't do an actual festival. We do a conference where they do workshops and things like that. But
yeah. So do you think your theater will make this a regular part of the year?
Yeah, I hope so. Speaking for myself, I don't know that I'll be involved next time. Taking a little break because we'd have to kick right into it again. And this has been going on. We've been working on this for almost 2 years now.
So. Right.
Yeah, oh, well. Really? This show for 2 years?
Yeah. From reading it originally to now.
Yeah, I should also mention Steve won the I don't know exactly how they word it, but the Best Actor Award at the festival. And Carly, you were nominated, correct? For the Actress Award, that's right. Okay, so you folks did well. I mean, you came away with some, and they took third place,
awesome.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So it's really awesome. Yeah. But I think that when it's interesting because when we keep saying, of course, once you get to that level, it's kind of like wow, you know you have a good product, and all of the shows are good, but all of them have different qualities, and that's where the adjudicators come in. But it's certainly a thrill to be there. And did you do any of the workshops?
I went to a couple myself. They were pretty good.
Good. Well, I'd just like to say congratulations, and maybe we'll see you again at a future festival. And we've been talking to Carly Tellickson and Steve Martin from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, which took third place at ACTFest. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
hey,
guys.
Take care. Well, that wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember to stop by. No, we have. There's going to be stuff intermingled in here.
Oh, you're very.
Yes. I should start over on that ending so you don't do that. Yeah. I was ending because we're going to have other stuff in between. It's not going to be.
Oh, well, then I'll just shut up and let you finish.
Okay. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up our festival issue of our festival episode of Theater Geeks. Remember to stop by the website at theatergeeks.com. Go to our store at theatergeeks.com/store where you can find cups, hats, mugs.
Oh, buy a coffee mug. My goodness, I used mine this morning. Love it.
Coffee mugs. Let me tell you, I collect coffee mugs. And I do. John knows that.
Yes.
My kitchen is full of coffee mugs. But Theater Geeks coffee mugs really are. They're big and they're sturdy and they're great. They give you a really nice big cup of coffee.
And coffee tastes better.
Of course it does.
In a Theater Geeks coffee mug.
Of course it does.
That's right. Better than that paper.
You could give that as a birthday gift.
There you go.
Yeah, I've done that.
Or an anniversary gift.
That's right. Oh, you can also get T-shirts. By the way, my granddaughter Anya is modeling a T-shirt, her pink Theater Geeks T-shirt, which she's almost too big for now, on the homepage of Theater Geeks website.
Did you get her? Did her parents sign off on an image release?
No, they didn't. Oh. But I have an in on that, so I think I'm okay there. be sure to listen to us via iTunes, via your favorite podcatcher, at the Stitcher On Demand Radio. And we are also on – oh, you're reading it off the card. I should probably read it off the card, too.
We have cards now. I feel
so
official.
Stitcher On Demand Radio. We are also on something called TuneIn Radio, which is not on the card here. And we are available at the Blueberry Network, BLUBRRY Network. So you can listen to us there as well. By the way, Stitcher's in cars now. So you can listen to us in your car via Stitcher On Demand Radio. If you have one of the newer cars.
Wow.
My car's 10 years old.
How many episodes do we have, Dave?
We are at this will be episode 89.
So if you're just catching us now, there are 88 other episodes that you can actually listen to.
That's true. Oh, by the way, I should mention to you, too, that we were, it's over now, but we were really proud. We were featured as part of a special, celebrating theater section on iTunes, which really helped us gain a lot of new listeners. And if you are one of our new listeners, thanks for coming on. And by the way, if you have
questions or topics that you'd like us to discuss, send an email to either Dave, Marsha, or John at theatergeeks.com, and we'll be sure to look at it and consider it for possible future episodes, since we're always looking for new things to talk about here on Theater Geeks. That's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
I'm Marsha Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.